Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show. This is Julie Calamine, your morning show host, and I am so happy, delighted, you can probably hear the smile on my face, to have Ryan Wells, who is the Recreation Facility Manager over at the James E. Russell Sports Center. Hi, Ryan.
Good morning, Julie.
So glad to have you. Okay, now we have to have full disclosure. We've known each other for a while.
Quite a while.
Yes, ever since all the pickleball got up and rolling around Sandpoint.
We were playing in some interesting places back then.
We sure were. We went from like a lumber building to a big county facility, and then finally to the Russell building. And I think most of the pickleball players and tennis and everyone else using it will say that they're happy about that.
Correct.
But back to you for a minute, Ryan. Ryan, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you came to be in Sandpoint, sort of your history here, and then how you came to be working at the Russell building.
Perfect. Well, I came up from Coeur d'Alene 30 years ago. Coeur d'Alene seemed to be about the size of Sandpoint now, and we thought it was getting too big. So always a lifetime skier. It was great to be closer to Schweitzer. Came up and settled in, had kids up here, and they went all the way through LPOSD schools, went off to college. But I've always been involved in skiing and hockey and all the different sports that we have up here. So it was easy transition to move into, you know, tennis and pickleball and programming and that type of thing. So I've just always loved, you know, the North Idaho outdoor lifestyle. And most of the sports I do are outdoors. And pickleball is great because when you can't do all those sports, you can just come inside and play. And so it really fills some nice gaps.
Yeah. So when they hired you, they had someone who loved one of the sports within the facility already. And that's helpful. Plus, you've got a background in management anyway, don't you?
Retail. Correct. Yeah. I managed big box retail buildings all my life. Originally started working for Patagonia, working retail with them. When we moved here, there was nothing really in this area to transfer with them. So but it's great to be kind of back in the play environment again. I used to teach skiing way back when, and so I did that for a while, and just am really comfortable in the recreation space.
Well, we can tell, at least I know that I can tell when I'm in and using the Russell facility. The staffing changed quite a bit when you came on because it had been two full-time Parks and Recs people, and, you know, of course, operating in a loss, and then those folks left, and then we got you, and that's been a very big change.
Yeah, it has, and the, you know, my title is facility supervisor, but my focus has been the turnaround out there at the James E. Russell Center. Ultimately, I'll kind of come back out and work in some other areas and things like that, but getting this back on track and kind of realizing its full potential was kind of the number one hot button as I was hired. So
yeah, job number one, and you had to change a few things, the way things are scheduled, the way that folks use the facility when they pay, all of that kind of stuff has changed since you've come along.
Yeah, those were some of the major pain points that not only I was feeling as an original member, but as, you know, you talk to people and whatnot, scheduling was very difficult to do. The pay structure was interesting. Just, you know, it wasn't really set up to be just a racket sports facility where you come in, you know, play for a couple hours and go. So we've done a lot of major changes out there, correct?
Boy, that's for sure. It is easier to show up and play. And, you know, just as staff, I've got to commend the staff, a staff with a nice attitude. Let's talk about them because I think they're pickleball players and tennis players and all kinds of people that love the sports that are happening in there.
Totally. And you know, back to the pickleball and tennis, I originally started playing tennis, and as most of us did before pickleball. And coming into the building, I was the lone pickleball player in the group. You know, they are a group of tennis players, which was fine and great. We have gotten most of them out on the pickleball court now, which is fantastic. And they have done that. But that's really, I think, the beauty of that facility is you get people in there that are passionate about what they're doing, and they're in there having fun, and it's a great place to work. And that's what will contribute to success. And then people will feel happy being in there and wanting to continue to participate. So it's been great. We hired a couple people that we're now kind of pushing towards a membership focus and programming focus. And I'm sure we'll talk about our facilitator program that's coming up, but they will also help schedule the volunteer facilitators that we'll be launching here soon. So they have a little bit higher job description than just, you know, hanging out, switching nets and running the counter.
More than just manning the front desk and yeah, that kind of stuff. Well, that's really great. Also, what I would like to know a little bit more about is everything that you do. It's more than just for you too. It's more than just manning the front desk, and you've got a lot going on. Tell us about some of it.
Well, now the focus, you know, started as let's get the membership going and get people in the building. We now are switching to programming and leagues and tournaments and all the things that is kind of the frosting on the cake. And so that's where I'm looking forward at the spring already. We're really interested to see what happens with the Schweitzer crowd. And once Schweitzer gets up and running, how many more people does that bring in? And so we're a little hesitant to put a bunch of programming in there if we're going to be just booked with bookings kind of all through ski season. So we've pulled back just a tiny bit. We had some really successful programs in the spring I can share, but I mean, in the fall that I can share, but we're already putting stuff on for the spring. And we understand that the summertime is when people want to be outside. We all live here because we want to be outside. So having more robust programming during the summer to bring people in and give them a reason to come in will be kind of our focus. And then that's a great time to run kids camps and kids programs because parents are looking for something for their kids to do for a couple hours. And so that's what I'm focused on right now, as well as just some of the things around the facility. We just finished. There's a really nice rotary picnic structure. We had picnic tables delivered yesterday. So we're still finishing up just some of the little fine tunes around the building. And once all that settles in, it's going to be all about programming. The court reserve system that we can talk about in a little bit runs itself. And once the programming and the members understand how to use that, they'll be able to book and change and drop out and, you know, add their friends and all that. So that piece has been the greatest success to moving forward. And now that that's settling in, let's get some programming going and have that happening. But we've got days that are fully booked before we even open. And that is a dramatic change from even when I started 6 months ago. So,
right. And let's talk about some of the fun things that have happened already since you've joined the center. There's been a tournament, I know, league play. What else? What's going on?
So the tournament we just had was our first tournament that you're referencing. And we have been getting that question for a while and finally put together a really fun, you know, mixed tournament that anyone, men, women, mixed, could all play together in. And that was co-hosted by Rotary. And so super great feedback from that. We had a kind of a round robin session, and then we went into a double elimination bracket and played for a bit in there. And we're already wins the next one. And that, having a regular tournament schedule, is going to be something we'll certainly do. It will turn into a 3 or 4 day tournament with full age brackets and different levels and all the different things you do, men's, women's, the entire gamut of what a tournament does. We see those very successful in Coeur d'Alene and Spokane and those type of areas. And I think that people would be very happy to travel to Sandpoint and spend a weekend up here and play in a pickleball tournament. So,
summertime in Sandpoint and a pickleball tournament, I got to think that would attract a lot of people.
Correct. We have a few other amenities that people would love to share in up here, which would be fantastic. And so that was really our first tournament, but we do have ladder leagues, which are, you know, leagues you come and play up and down week in and week out. If you lose, you move up or down. And so those have been successful. We partner with Sandpoint Tennis Association has been our kind of main tennis group in town. And then the Panhandle Pickleball Association, PPC, is the pickleball group. And so they have very robust mixers and programming and skills and drills and that type of thing. So for us, it was just a no-brainer to partner with them and just give them space instead of recreating the wheel at that point. So they've been great partners to kind of get things up and running quickly. And then we'll fill in gaps around what they don't want to do. We'll probably run a few more of the tournaments and let them run the more social beginner type things. They seem to be really good at that. And their skills and drills with the tennis people are really, really great. And then we're also starting to add instructors to the list. So now you'll be able to sign up and say, I would like to book a lesson with this person and that type of thing. So that's where we're kind of working right now. But as far as any other events, we had a very large cornhole event in there. We had, it was a fundraiser for one of the local nonprofits, and they had the first tennis court completely set up with cornhole boards and had a men's bracket, women's bracket. You know, it was a really cool event. They had a bouncy house out front and stuff for the kids, and ended up being really kind of enlightening for even the tennis and pickleball players that were playing during that time to walk in and go, wow, this is really cool. It only takes up one court. It doesn't wipe out the whole building from the other things, but it opens up to a lot of people coming in there. And then that was really good. And then right now, between when tennis will start up and the high school kids will be in there shortly, but we're trying out futsal, which is a version of soccer with a squishy ball that doesn't fly very far and they can't kick it. But the soccer kids are in there playing from 2 to 5 in different age groups. And there's futsal practice going on, and that's through Strikers and the local soccer clubs. But that's been a really interesting thing. That's a really multi-sport right now. Everything else is pretty much pickleball and tennis, but futsal has been interesting to watch in there. So
I bet. And I think this was before your time, but I know that the Panhandle chapter of Trout Unlimited got to do a fun little fly fishing, fly casting instruction within the building, and it was great for that. A lot of open spaces for practicing fly casting.
Correct.
So it is a facility that's open to more uses, but with the focus of course, pickleball and tennis. Yeah. So for example, if a person is listening to us and wants to get to know more about tennis or pickleball, how would you have them go forward? Would they come to the Russell Center, or would they be better off to contact one of the organizations?
If someone walks into the door and says, hey, I'm interested in playing, we'll ask them a few questions. You know, have you played? What's your experience level? And if they're really trying to get into either sport, we would certainly direct them to STA or PPC, either one of those clubs, because they have the bandwidth right now to have those. We have just started some Saturday learn to play tennis programs. I need to get a few more coaches on board. The ones we have are filling up very quickly. You can find them on the city's website. But those are the kind of starter blocks of this. And as we get more and more people in a facilitator type program, they will be in there hosting kind of the learn to play, level up, you know, the different clinics and things that we'll have as programming available for members or for drop-in people to join in with the fee. But when people want to play, that is the biggest question, is how do I get connected? And because PPC and STA have a really good kind of program in place, that's a good place for them to start getting involved in their leagues and their mixers and that type of thing to learn the basics. If you kind of look at the system that runs out there, a lot of people book courts. And so it's people coming in with their four friends and playing. So it's a little bit difficult to jump in. We have an open play pickleball session that anyone can sign up on Monday, Wednesday, Friday mornings. That's super popular. It's been fully booked the last 2 days. But we're just getting to the point now where we can add more and more of those programs and
start getting some new folks in. And for membership, I don't know if you want to go into every detail of how a person becomes a member, but there are options, right? Yearly, monthly, daily. Let's spend a little bit of time talking about that.
Sure. The Court Reserve is the app that's a worldwide app that you can book courts in any facility or a lot of facilities around the world in. And so anyone that's traveled around and played tennis or pickleball is probably familiar with that. And you can just search us out on that or go to the web. You can find it on our social media at the Facebook site. But once you go in there and register, and you can get a free account so you can see the programming, you can see the things that are happening, you can come in and play anytime for a $15 drop-in. So you don't have to be a member. You can walk into the building. You can have your friends put you on a court with you, you know, whatever it is. And so the winter drop-in rate is $15 anytime you want to play. Going forward from that, we do have just a monthly membership. So if you want to pay for 31 days, it doesn't have to start on the first of the month, but, you know, you can buy a month, and there's a city rate, a county rate at that. And then the annual rates are significantly cheaper, and you're just committing to an annual membership. You can either pay it fully up front or You can still pay it monthly or quarterly if you want. But the city rate for the annual is $39 a month, and there's no other fees with that. You pay $39, you come and play as much as you want. So if you're going to play in there for four times a month at $15, you're paying $60. So it's a significant savings if you're just going to play a little bit. And then the county rate, so anybody in Bonner or Boundary County, we've extended to Boundary County as well, that is $49 a month for that annual rate. So all that is available. You can see that on the Court Reserve site. The other cool thing you do is click events and just see all the stuff that's upcoming. You can click register, put yourself in on those. And
yeah, good. So you can look things over before you have to spend any money. You can come for a day and just try it out for just a little bit, 15, and then you can go monthly if you're still not sure, or go annually and save some money.
And I have a free option for you too. We have a walking track all the way around the facility that is open anytime we're open, and you can just come in and walk for free. So as these trails around town and the sidewalks get icy, just come on over and walk the trail, and you can see all of this happening and test it out that way too. But that is always open for anyone that wants to come in and just, you know, walk some laps. Eight laps of the building is a mile, and you can get some steps in and get out of the cold and not worry about slipping. And it's fun to have walkers in there.
Yes, anyone that's on 2 feet, because I know the four-footed ones are not invited, unfortunately.
Correct. If they're fuzzy, they need to hang out in the car. But
there you
yes.
go. That's fair enough. Let's see. Oh, I think we haven't quite touched on this, and you can tell me what you know about it, but I heard that there might be an opportunity for volunteers. Is that likely to happen, or is
it's
that?
It's certainly going to happen. What we've been watching is for this magic fully booked window to start appearing more and more. So as we do not have reservation slots available, we are going to extend hours. So the first extension would be starting open at 7. So you could start playing at 7 in the morning. And then we will extend the weekend hours. Right now we're closing at 3. So we'll probably push that to 5 or 7, depending on what, you know, level of play we start seeing that late. The weekends, we've had a harder time getting people there in the evenings. The mornings are super busy, which is great, but it dies pretty quickly. That's the interesting thing about Schweitzer. How many people are going to ski in the morning and want to play in the afternoon or evening? Their friends are in town, that type of thing. So these extended hours, we want to staff with volunteers. And so the volunteers, there's not a lot of work that needs to be done, and the volunteers are certainly welcome to just play pickleball or tennis during their volunteer session, and then we will give them a membership to, you know, play anytime, so they can come back in when they're not on their volunteered session or whatnot. So that's the plan, to extend the hours without adding a whole bunch of additional costs to the facility, is to extend the offer to people who come in there and play a lot or know the facility and are willing to share a couple hours of their time to just play pickleball with their friends, but be the kind of one that unlocked the building and have some structure to how they make sure that everybody's checked in and the people that are in there are using the facility correctly. But it's, you know, just 2 hour shift, not a lot of them, and you might be playing during that time anyway. So now we give you a membership and let you go.
Yeah, that sounds like it's really a win-win for people that don't mind giving some time back and then having a benefit come from it too.
Yeah, and you've been involved with, I know, the Panhandle Pickleball Club, and they ran their entire organization that way. You know, we had Segal School or, you know, the fairgrounds or whatnot, and you had a facilitator that would be the one to open the door and let people in and check people in, and they would play and then close up, make sure everything was put away right, and go on with your business. So
yeah, yes, they got some free play out of it too.
Totally.
Everyone
totally
liked it.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Well, I hear that you're very conscious about cost savings and keeping track of the numbers of people and, you know, whether the facility's full all the time. And I know that the news is for the most part good. Let's talk about that.
Certainly. So another huge benefit of this Court Reserve program is it literally tracks to the hour my utilization of the facility. So I can tell how many tennis players are using it, pickleball players are using it. I know exactly how many members to the day, you know, we have signed up. And when we launched Court Reserve in September, that's when we went live with this program, we brought 59 members over from the old system. So we had 59 paying annual members that were still in the old system, and we migrated them across. this morning I was hoping to say we were at 500. We were very, very close. I know we'll be at 500 definitely before the end of the month, but we are able now to extend to the 13 to 15 or 13 to 18 year olds, get a free membership in there. So some of those aren't completely paid memberships, but the youth can still book members or book courts and come in. And then we do have some guest members. It's about 200 at this point, but the rest are annual and monthly members that are paying. So, you know, we've had a huge increase. A lot of that's driven by our seasonal change, but it's also just because it's so much easier to play in there and use the facility. So membership is way up, which is fantastic. And then revenues, we had been running, I think our biggest months were in the $10,000 range last year, and we did almost $18,000 last month.
Wow.
So yeah, a little bit of improvement there. And that number is a full cost recovery number. So it pays all of our bills. We have money put aside for a slow month or that type of thing. And so the trajectory on is really good. We have the daily use numbers are doubling almost every month so far. And so we can track, you know, how many people are checking in, you know, how many courts are being booked, all that type of thing. So not only is our membership going up, but the use of the facility is going up dramatically as well. So, and if you look at a lot of people walk in with their tennis racket and say, hey, can I jump on a court? And we say, well, how about tomorrow at 2? And they look at you like, are you kidding me? What happened in here?
So, right. It's great news, yeah, though,
it is.
That people will need to plan and fit themselves in. And you guys will kind of work around what's the best use of the courts for days and times, because I have a feeling that will change a little bit too.
Totally. And every time somebody says, how come I can't book a court in here? I say, look ahead 3 days. You know, you can book whatever time you want in 3 or 5 days out. But we're getting to the point where people are planning about 2 or 3 days out. And beyond that, you can book 14 days in advance as a member. And we just need to remind people that they now have to start planning a little bit before they grab their tennis racket or pickleball paddle and head out the door. But the events are also a really popular piece in that, and you can sign up for those well in advance as well. So,
yeah, what's going on with upcoming events? Have we covered that? I don't think so.
Not really. We've got a kind of hold pattern going until after the holidays. You know, a lot of people are in and out over Christmas and New Year's. So January, we will launch 2 different leagues. One will be a weekend league. One will be an evening league. PPC does have their kind of ugly sweater mixer coming up. So that is still available on the schedule.
Yes. And I think that's the 17th, listeners, if you want to join. And would a person need to be a member of PPC to get to that one? I would think so.
Yes, that is a PPC event. So you can find Panhandle Pickleball Club online and they have an email address there. But they are the hosts of that event. And then we're still doing co-ed tennis, men's doubles, women's doubles, all that stuff. But that is all organized through STA, Sandpoint Tennis Association. And then the only other thing that we're kind of hosting right now as a facility is the Kleins are longtime Sandpoint residents and great tennis players. And so they've been hosting kind of some kids camps. And so they are still going on Mondays, and we're going to extend to a Wednesday with them. But that will be available in 2 weeks on the city's website. So when you go to the city's website, if you had been familiar with registering for events and things like that on our recreation site, those will not go live until the 15th online. So we've got a couple more days before that pops up, but that is an ongoing kids event that's going. And then again, January, we'll open the floodgates again and get a lot going, but it's hard to schedule and
right now. Yeah, there's a lot going on. And the Kleins really are involved tennis folk, and they have these little kids getting going so young. And is it free for those kids?
Free for those kids.
What a great opportunity.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat. And they are having a fun time. They have a great time with those kids. It's not like work. It's like fun.
Yeah, totally. And one other thing I'll add for anyone who's concerned about, I want to play, I don't know what to do. We have a pickleball company called Selkirk, and they're one of the top manufacturers in the world. They're based in Hayden, which is, you know, our neighbor short to the south of us here. And they are a sponsor of our facility and have given us hundreds of paddles, top high-end paddles, the best you could buy, tons of balls, all the different things. They have been great partners in this. You can walk in and grab any paddle you want for free, you know, and balls, and we have all the stuff. So if you're thinking about playing pickleball and you don't want to go and, you know, spend for a paddle, come try out ours, and you can borrow them anytime. We've had some really fun events. We had the Lake Pendre School District employees on two different nights in there, and we probably had two people out of 70 that had gear. And so we were able to give them all the stuff over the two nights. One fun thing that I would do is, okay, raise your hand if you've been in this facility before. And we only had about a third of those people that ever been in there. And so that's always been my biggest goal, is to get people through that door, because they walk in and they go, wow, this is amazing. I never knew, you know, it was so nice in here. And so we get walkers in, we get pickleball players, tennis players. And then that's the beauty of these cornhole events and things too, is just getting people in the door, because once they figure out how great the facility is and how close it is to town, and the ability just to get in there and have some fun is pretty special.
I agree. And I've witnessed a lot of people coming in and checking it out, and they do seem pretty impressed. What are you hearing from folks that are using it regularly? Are they getting happier and happier?
Totally. And just to have the consistency of, you know, we knew when we were playing, how we can play, how we can sign up, you know, it's really settling into routine. And pickleball tennis players, they like the routine sometimes, come put their stuff in their same locker and go to their same court and do their little things. And so it's good to kind of let things settle down and have people know. It's very interesting. You have the same people come in at the same times, you know, each week and that type of thing. And you've got evening players and morning players, and it's fun to watch that kind of rhythm start to develop now. And, you know who you're going to see at what time or whatnot. But, the facility is just fully coming up to speed, which is nice. You know, just getting the ability for people to know how, you know, courts work going on and off, and when things are going to be set up and how things are going to be run when we have the different events or leagues or different things like that. So it's becoming very comfortable, which is fantastic.
That really is great. Do you see this facility as, how do you see it in the area of tourism in Sandpoint? Does it seem like it's going to have an impact?
I think it will. We already have some Canadians coming down. So some of our neighbors just across the border, everything indoors up there is hockey, right? So they don't have good places to play during the winter. So we're getting some of that already happening. It's interesting. I was in the airport with my wife and we heard people talking and they were talking pickleball. So of course we go stick our nose in it and introduce ourselves. They were all from Pullman and they have no facility like this in Pullman or Moscow. And they are already planning a huge trip with a bunch of their friends to come up sometime around Christmas and have a pickleball night in there. And so as we see, the rates that you see in Spokane, you know, it's $100 to be a member or different things like that. I think as we get kind of more and more word out there that we're available and we're very, very reasonable because we're a public facility, you will see people start traveling. And we really haven't had that full year cycle of getting our word out. And we haven't spent a lot of money on advertising. And you know, our Facebook page is now kind of up and robust. And we've got this. This is our fourth edition of this newsletter. So we've only been, you know, talking about that for 4 months. And so I think as the word of mouth starts getting out, oh, you have four beautiful tennis courts and 14 pickleball courts. Wow, that's, you know, bigger than any facility that I know about. And so it's the flywheel is starting to turn.
I think so, because none of this really got going until you joined the staff. And so it's been a short window of time that's, you know, that we've had for these sorts of ideas to come around, but they are coming. So I agree. I'm hoping I can get my older brother, who's just retired, to come out and spend a couple weeks out here, and he can get some, you know, get some good coaching and learn about pickleball and then head back to Minnesota and be better.
Sweet.
I know. We'll see if that comes to happen. Ryan, what else is there that we would be wanting to talk about with this facility?
You know, the beauty of both pickleball and tennis is just the community. I you know, we've both been in this town for a very long time, and I never met you until pickleball. And I start looking at, you know, my friend list sometimes, and it's amazing how many people I've met, you know, through those different channels. And that is one of the beauties of this facility. It's just a very social place. And I've really started pushing to make sure that, you know, everybody feels welcome in there, and it's a great place to hang out. And it's almost interesting. I have to go out on the court sometimes and be like, okay, guys, to the lobby, move, stop talking. You know, the next people want to come on, because everyone just wants to stand around, talk and chat and stuff when they're done. And we've got a beautiful lobby for that. But that's one of the cool things about the sport, in either sport, is, you know, hey, let's go grab a pizza afterwards or that type of thing. And the social aspect, I think, is a very important part of it. And people walk in and they see that energy and they see everybody out there having fun, and they just are magnetically drawn to, wow, let's give this a chance.
Yeah. And, you know, the age, I think originally it was sort of maybe a middle-aged experience here in Sandpoint, but I'm noticing that that's changing a lot too. A lot more younger people are playing. And, you know, of course, I'm sure they have other avenues for social contact, but it's still a great way for kids to get to know each other, and also older folks that might be retired looking for, you know, friends that they can do things with. We really see friendships forming.
Yeah, and to your point on that, you know, our tournament that we just had, it was open to everybody, men, women, kids, adults, older people. And the two people that were in the championship round were two father-son teams.
You know, that was cool.
They beat all the best players in town, you know, to get to that championship round. So when you have your kid out there with you playing as hard as you are and, you know, winning lots of games, that says a lot to what the next generation is going to be with pickleball. So
yeah, seems so. And I'm just waiting for them all to get so great, and maybe some pros will come out of Sandpoint with that facility. Could happen.
Yeah, we've been seeing some good success with pickleball players in local tournaments. So people have been traveling to Spokane and Coeur d'Alene to the bigger tournaments, and more podiums are filled with Sandpoint people. And there's a little, are you guys from Sandpoint? You know, this little, where did all you guys come from? And so it's really fun to see that community kind of branching out and traveling and being successful in other communities too.
That's really fun to hear that. Now, Ryan, I think we've covered why a person might want to consider joining the Russell Center and all the easy ways to do it, short term and long term. But I wanted to ask you something. I want to ask you, Ryan, what are some of the maybe nicest things you found about having started to work at the Russell Center? What have you liked about being there?
Obviously, the people who've already been participating and are super excited about it, and that energy is a huge plus. But I'm always kind of just stunned when people walk through that door for the first time and they stand there in the lobby and they go, wow, I never knew this was here. And either they live two blocks away, or, you know, maybe in Sagal or something like that, and they finally made it out for the first time. But it's so interesting to introduce it to people the first time. And then when people bring their friends in and their friends say, I'm from this town and we have nothing like this. How did you guys get this in Sandpoint? How did this, you know, and they're trying to wrap our heads around. And, you know, these Pullman people that I was talking about earlier, they're frustrated that they have no place to play like this. And as, you know, we're going into these kind of dark, dreary winter months
until
we hit, you know, the turnaround of the time, you know, it's hard to think of something to do at 3 o'clock in the afternoon when you want to go to bed, but you walk through the door and it's bright and light and there's energy and it's like, okay, you forget what it looks like outside.
Right.
And you're able to have a fun, you know, 2 hours, get some endorphins going, you know, and feel like you got something done, and then go home and, you know.
Right. And it's pitch dark and all that, but at least you got a couple of good hours of exercise and some bright lights and got to see some friends.
And fun. Yes. Very fun.
That's
so
nice.
That to me is, you know, being part of any recreational community, it's you're around people that are trying to have fun, trying to be healthy, you know, just a good environment to be in. And so that's the thing I like the most, is just being out there and people walk through the door, they got a big smile on their face because they're, you know, not walking into work or some other place. They're coming to spend a couple hours having fun, and they just enjoy being there. And that's a great place to be.
Yeah, it really is. Now, we've talked about really a lot of great things about this facility, and we've talked about a lot of challenges that you've overcome. There was a revenue problem. Membership was coming along very slowly, things like that. But what would you say is a challenge for you now? It's coming along nicely, but you must have something that's a main challenge of the moment.
My next big focus is going to be just the playability, how quickly we can turn over court after court and switch back and forth between tennis, and just the fluidity of the way that building will run going forward. And then the last thing that is my giant wish list item, there is an atrium that's over the entire kind of office area of that building. And that was originally designed to be a community space. And so you would have tables and they had, you know, we could have ping pong tables or, you know, just go up there afterwards, have some lunch with your friends you're with. And it's just a great viewing area for the whole facility. And you know, this building was kind of designed and built kind of a little bit post COVID, and they had to cut some costs. And so that whole atrium area was left unfinished.
Above upstairs area,
and,
yes.
And it was completely designed for that. When you go to big tennis or pickleball facilities that have this same kind of space, that area has, you know, seating all across the rail, and you can sit there and heckle your friends down below if you want or whatever. But it's just a really cool addition to what could be there. And as I'm thinking forward to tournaments, I mean, you have tournaments where 400 people are involved with these things, and I don't know where I'm going to put all those people in that building when we get to that point. I do have a donor that is willing to start talking about a match to finish that off. Not there just quite yet, but if we could get that upper stairs finished off, have picnic tables, have, you know, couches and ping pong tables and just a cool hangout area. You know, we have so many kids in there. It would be a great space for them and families. So that is one of my short wish list items, is to start a little campaign to get that finished off.
Love it. Wouldn't that make a difference?
Don't know how hard it will be to do, but there are a lot of people who are interested in seeing that happen, and it would really push that building back into exactly what it was designed to do, is be a really cool community space. It's functioning now just fine, but it would really enhance the ability for us to bring even more people in, have even bigger events, and just give you a place to go hang out after you played or before you played, or, you know,
a lot of
options. And then we have the beautiful community room there. As I left just now, there was a big homeschool event coming in. So a lot of these homeschoolers were getting together to kind of have a little community event. So that space can be rented out anytime. And during the summer, we have this big glass door that opens up to the outside, to the atrium there. So we're also seeing a lot more use of that community space now, because it's really cool, super easy parking close to town. So
right, and next to the fun things for little kids to do, the playground is right there and all the walking around Traverse. So, yes, I can see why that would be a popular place to hang out before you go and do things. Yeah, how cool. And actually, the outdoor space in the front of the building is quite pleasant, too, with the places to sit and the landscaping. That turned out well.
Very much. And that whole giant porch, if you will, is really cool. We had the big Pondere Cup, you know, which is the huge soccer event that they put on here every summer, and had a little bit of rain during one part of it. And that place just got packed with probably hundreds of people, you know, tucked under there. And it's a great space. And that's ultimately space we could use for a tournament or whatnot, to be staging people before they go on the courts. But that is always welcome. You know, come hang out there. Kids are in the skate park. Moms are sitting under there. The new picnic structure is fantastic. And as you mentioned, the playground, the splash pad is just
pretty neat.
Crazy during the summer. You know, that's a hot place to be.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool little area now, turning into a fun place for adults and kids to be hanging out. Really turned out. Well, Ryan, we're coming to an end of a really good talk. I feel like I've learned a lot. I thought I knew mostly everything, but it turns out I didn't. How nice. And anything else you'd like to add, or should we just wrap it up?
You know, the door is always open. Come in, walk in, check it out, take a lap around the walking track. I think that's the biggest thing. Just poke your head in and say hi. We're super welcoming. We'd love to put a pickleball paddle in your hand or get you connected with some tennis people. But that's the whole thing, is until everybody in this town has stuck their head in that building, I haven't done my job.
There you go. Opportunities abound. Right. Well, all right. Ryan Wells, the recreation facility manager of the James E. Russell Sports Center, I want to thank you for taking the time to come in and talk about what's going on over there.
It's great to chat.
All right. Thanks a bunch.